Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've talked about this woman up here on the screen quite a bit. This is my mother. She has now been safely home with the Lord for the last decade or so. But I really loved my mom and I'm really looking forward to seeing her again someday when I get home to heaven. One of the reasons that I loved my mom so much is that we had a lot of things in common, very similar in a lot of different ways. We kind of looked alike. We enjoyed people. We loved the Lord Jesus Christ. There were a lot of things about our personalities that were very, very similar. But there were a couple of things that we were very different on. One of those things that I thought about this week was this. We liked our coffee very differently. I love strong, robust cup of coffee. I love it. It's got to be black. It's got to be a little bit bitter. And, you know, if you can eat it with a fork, all the better. My mother, on the other hand, liked hers very, very weak. In fact, when we would go over to their house and I would see it percolating, I would think to myself, is that coffee or is that tea? It looks like tea. On its worst days, it looked like dirty water. And I know that my mother loved us because when we would go over there, she would oftentimes add just a little bit more coffee to meet us halfway between what we desired and what she desired. Well, how do you make weak coffee? Two things have to happen. First of all, you have to use very little coffee grounds. Sometimes I think my mother just kind of sprinkled them in like this into her coffee. Secondly, you need to make sure that the water doesn't stay in the coffee too long. On the flip side, how do you make strong coffee? Just the opposite. Use a good amount of coffee grounds and make sure the water steeps for a while in those coffee grounds. I thought about that this week as I was looking at one of our passages for today, and it's actually the psalm for today that at the beginning of the service we read responsively. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. What does it mean to hide God's word in your heart? That's what we're going to be talking about here today. I thought about this particular prayer from the Common Book of Prayer written hundreds of years ago by Thomas Cranmer. And maybe you've heard this prayer as well. It says, blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in wise hear them, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest them, that by the comfort of thy holy word, we embrace and ever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus. So he's talking here about the word of God. And what does he say? Is it our job to just hear or read the word of God? Actually not. Look it. He says, hear it, read it, mark it up, learn it. And I love these words. Inwardly digest it. In other words, through all of those things, make sure that the word gets into you. Make sure that it gets into you. How do you make a strong Christian? Kind of like making a strong cup of coffee. Use the Bible a lot. make sure that there's a lot of Bible in you. And secondly, don't just read it, but meditate on it, memorize it, get it into you. Let it percolate a little bit. Let it get strong and let your faith get strong as you read it. On the flip side, how do you make a weak Christian? How do you make a Christian that has weak faith that is never going to stand up to the trials of this life? Use very little Bible and make sure that you don't stay in the Bible too long. I was thinking of an analogy for this, and just a show of hands, how many of you have ever been on vacation and you went out on a glass-bottomed boat? Anyone ever been? All right, a few people there. That's a pretty neat experience, isn't it? You get on this boat, this little boat, and you go out into the middle of the ocean, and everyone is staring straight down at the bottom of the boat. And as you go by, you can see these fish swimming by, or turtles, or other life that's underneath the water. And that's really neat, isn't it? That's kind of like reading your Bible or coming to church on Sunday. You're passing by, you're getting it in, you're seeing the neat things that are going on. But what's even better? Instead of being in the boat, how about scuba diving? How about getting in the midst of it? Letting it surround you, spending time in it, experiencing it fully. The more time we spend in the Word of God, the more it's going to affect us in amazing and powerful ways. And our faith is going to get strong as well. There's really no excuse in this day and age for us not to be in our Bibles. Every day I use the Bible app YouVersion, and from what I understand, it's the most used Bible app in the world. There are millions and millions of people that use this Bible app, and if you go to the YouVersion Bible app, you can put in Bible reading plans, and you will find hundreds and hundreds of different Bible reading plans. If you want to read the Bible in a year, if you want to read the Bible in 2 years, if you want to read it chronologically, if you want to just focus on one aspect of the Bible, or maybe you're struggling with a particular issue, maybe that's anxiety. You can put in anxiety, and it'll give you a whole Bible reading plan on those passages having to do with anxiety and how to deal with it. Like I said, there's really no excuse today for not getting those Bibles off of our shelves, blowing off the dust and opening them up. If we want to be strong Christians, and especially as it gets closer to the end of time where the Bible is crystal clear, things are going to get pretty bad. And if we're going to be able to hold up in those days, trusting in the Lord in those difficult days, we're going to need a strong faith. Where does that come from? That comes from hearing and being in and letting the Word of God percolate in our lives. There are benefits to hiding God's Word in our hearts. We're going to look at just a few of them here today. Number one is this: we might know how good God's laws are for us. The more we're in His Word, and there's a lot of laws in there, and you say, why does God have so many laws? Well, it's not because He's going, I'm God and you're not. The reason He has all those laws in there is because He loves us, and He knows that our natural way of going is against His laws, and that's going to hurt us. And He doesn't want us to get hurt. And so He's given us all these parameters that if we're wise, we will take into consideration and do them. Back to Psalm 119 again. Look at the verses that surround that first verse. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. He certainly is not looking at Scripture and the laws that God has given to us as being burdensome. Just the opposite. He says, I delight in them. Why? Well, if you look a little bit later in Psalm 119, he says this, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than all my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here's a guy that has found God's word to be super sweet. Even the decrees and the laws, he said, are so good. Because when I seek to follow them, I find myself wiser than all my peers. They're getting themselves into all kinds of troubles. But because I know and I trust your word that you love me and you would never tell me to do something that isn't good for me, I'm being able to stay clear of some of those roadblocks to having a good and happy life. Whereas everyone around me is struggling. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is good. So the first benefit to hiding God's word in our hearts is we might know how good God's laws are for us. Every one of them is for our good because he loves us and he wants us to have life in all of its abundance. What happens sometimes is we think that we know better than God. And so we go and we break some of those decrees that he's made, and we find out not too long later how wise God was. Number two, the benefits of hiding God's word in your heart that we might know how good God's gospel is. What's God's gospel? It's this. Jesus took my place. Hallelujah. In our Old Testament lesson for today, Jeremiah records God saying that he's going to make a new covenant. And in this new covenant, God is going to wash away our sins and remember our sins, all the things that we've done against him, no more. You and I deserve nothing good. Because every one of us has broken God's law over and over and over again. In fact, I would go so far to say that there hasn't been a day of your life or a day of my life that we haven't thought we knew better than God, and we shoved aside his decrees and laws and decided to do that what we were want to do. We're a bunch of rebels. We deserve nothing good. And the Bible says what we do deserve is death and hell for everything that we've done wrong. But the gospel is this: Jesus took our place. After living a perfect life, Jesus went to that cruel cross. And the Bible says that all of the world's sins, your sins, my sins, were put on him so that he could pay the full punishment that you and I deserve once and for all, so that there would be no more punishment left for you and me. And now the Bible says that whoever believes that and is baptized into that is saved. God considers what Jesus did in your place, and there's no more punishment for you and me. That is really, really good. In fact, Paul says it this way, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, from beginning to end, just as it is written, the righteous will live not by works, but simply by faith. By trusting that Jesus has done it for us, we receive all of its benefits. When God looks down on you and me who believe and have been baptized, he doesn't see all that sin. He sees that Jesus has paid for all of our sin, and now he just wants to bless you and love you and allow you to get to know him. There's no more punishment. Jesus paid it in full. Now, here's the thing about the gospel. You're not going to find it anywhere else in the world except in the Word of God. You're not going to find it anywhere else except in the pages of the Bible. And that's why Martin Luther said we need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day. We do. We forget it. Why? Because it's not part of our regular life. In our neighborhood, amongst our friends, amongst our relatives, at our job, wherever we go, there's no gospel. It's all law. The only place that we find gospel is in the Word of God. And so it behooves us that we get the Word of God into us. Let it percolate. Let it make our faith strong in what God has promised through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to need that because everything else in the world says, I'm doomed. Everything else in the world says, God is mad at me. But he's not. God the Father, I guess you could say, took it out on Jesus. And now there's nothing more to take out on you. That's how much God loves you. So the benefits of hiding God's word in your heart, number one, that we might know how good God's laws are. Number two, that we might know how good God's gospel, his good news is. And then thirdly, that we might know how good God's promises are for those who believe. And this is a big thing of why God wants us in his word on a regular basis, so that we will know that for those of us who believe and are baptized, God has given us amazing promises to hold on to when everything around us looks like it's falling down. We have an epidemic in our country and probably throughout the whole world of anxiety. Maybe over the last 4 or 5 years, you've developed some anxiety in your life. I know all of us are more anxious than we were a few years ago. What are we to do when we get anxious, when we have those panic attacks, when we get scared? What are we to do? Well, we're to get back into the Word of God. The first thing to do, maybe if you ever have panic attacks that I have in my life, they're scary. They're really scary. The first thing to do is this. Check your breathing. Oftentimes when you're having a panic attack or you're anxious about something, you find yourself panting. Stop. Slow your breathing. Take long, deep breaths. Slow your breathing. And then number two, remind yourself of the truth that because of your baptism, because you believe in Jesus, you are God's child. And because of that, you have his favor over your life. You're not like everyone else. And you have his promises that are amazing. Remind yourself of that. Get your breathing under control.
And then just remind yourself, because of Jesus, I have his favor and I have his promises over my life. Number three, rehearse God's relevant promises to your particular situation that you're anxious about over and rehearse them out loud several times. Why? Because faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Even if that hearing is coming from your own mouth. I'll tell you from experience that when this happens to me and I find myself rehearsing his promises out loud, the first time, the second time, the third time, I may not get it. My soul may not have adopted it quite yet. But the more I do it, the more Bible I use, the more I let it percolate in my soul, it eventually gets in. The more times I say it out loud, the more it gets into my soul, and pretty soon I start to believe it. Tell God this. I'm scared. You can be honest with him. But you said. I'm scared. But you said this. And then you share with God the promises that he's made to you. I know I've shared this before, but one of my professors at the seminary always said this: if you speak back to God what he said to you, you're never going to get it wrong. So say, God, I'm scared, but you said this. And then start sharing with him the promises that are relevant to your situation. Maybe one like this from Romans 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will be the one that repays, says the Lord. In a nutshell, this is what he's saying. I will protect you. I will defend you. If you are mine, one of the promises is this: I will defend you. You don't need to defend yourself. Don't get all anxious. Don't think that someone has the ability to destroy your life. If someone is trying to hurt you, you just say, God, I'm scared. But you said that you will defend me, and so I'm going to rest in that. Or maybe a promise like this from John 16. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, says Jesus. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Maybe you've got a physical issue. Maybe you're dealing with a health issue. Maybe you're dealing with a relationship issue. Maybe you're dealing with a financial issue. And you're scared and it's leading you into panic attacks. Slow your breathing. Remember you are one of God's favored children. Say to him, God, I'm scared. But you said that whatever I ask in the name of your dear son, Jesus, who you are so proud of, whatever I ask you in his name, you will give it to me and my joy will be complete. And so I'm going to ask you for what I need in this particular situation, and then I'm going to rest in you. See how this works? See why it's important to be in the Word of God on a regular basis? Tell God, I'm scared, but you said, number five, do it over and over again as many times as you need until your soul receives it. And finally, as I said, number six, rest and wait on him. And we can rest in him because it says in Lamentations 3, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. That's the way that God wants us to live. And the more we're in the Word of God, the more we're allowing it to get inside of us, we're going to be more apt to wait for him. Are you suffering from weak coffee-itis? I know every time I went to my mother's house, I was. Are you suffering from weak faith-itis? What are we to do? Get into the Word of God. Make sure there's a lot of the Word in your life. And let it grow your faith and percolate in your soul. And you will be blessed. Since it's St. Patrick's Day, I was going through some of the quotes of St. Patrick, and I found this great one that I think is a really great blessing that we can speak over ourselves as we finish this message here today. And notice that the last thing he says there has to do with the Word of God. Let's speak this together. May the strength of God pilot us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the Word of God direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.